Catherine, before we get into some of these covert budgets, you were talking about the chronology of how you believe this all started, and we got so excited we got sidetracked a little bit. So why don't you pick that up from years gone back?
We passed a series of laws with the National Security Act and the CIA Act that permitted, it created a loophole that let the intelligence agencies, using the securities and financial mechanism of the Treasury, basically draw huge amounts of money in and out of the financial markets with essentially zero transparency and accountability. So, you know, we kind of created the siphon. And then in 1980, we added a series of executive orders. One was an executive order that put George H.W. Bush in charge of the National Security Council and enforcement and intelligence infrastructure. So we had the former head of the CIA basically running that mechanism and understanding how to manipulate it. And then in addition, we implemented an executive order that said private corporations could handle through government contract highly sensitive national security operations. And so we create, you know, so here we have a non-transparent way to basically siphon a near infinite amount of money to big corporations with no accountability and transparency. And then on top of it, we passed what, thanks to Gary Webb, we know about is we created a memorandum of between the Department of Justice and the CIA, thanks to Stanley Sporkin and Casey at CIA, that said basically, you know, if the CIA knows of drug dealing by its operations, including its contractors, it doesn't have to report it. And that kind of, you know, that the combination of those legal and executive orders infrastructures, George, created a mechanism that was really a license to steal. And we watched Iran-Contra kind of evolve, and the financial fraud in Iran-Contra that I then cleaned up, both at HUD and I was on a cleanup team for BCCI.
Oh my, that was
literally
a mess.
Explode.
That was a disaster.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, Harry Albright, who was the trustee appointed by Morgenthau, or that Morgenthau arranged through the courts, had asked me to go on the board of First American, which was the Clark Clifford, you know, sort of Wonder Woman husband bank in Washington,
that's right.
Part of BCCI. And so Harry asked me if I would do it, and he sent out, you know, like a Brinks truck with thousands of pages of documents. I was living out in McLean, and I got, you know, they filled up my living room, and I spent several days just reading it. And when it was over, I just put, you know, after cleaning up Iran-Contra fraud, I thought I'd seen it all at HUD. But after I read those documents, George, what I realized is, you know, this could only have happened if it was approved at the highest levels. There's no way that kind of fraudulent behavior could go on unless the New York Fed and the Federal Reserve and the White House wanted it.
Everybody knew about it, too, at the highest
level.
Well,
I don't know if everybody knew about it, because certainly Harry Albright was no, you know, outsider. He's a pretty savvy guy, been chairman of the Dime Savings Bank. But, you know, it was after that Harry said to me, you know, I'm just leaving for Florida and retiring. I remember I had dinner with him, and he said, you know, at the beginning of the Bush administration, we were selling 40% of the arms to the world, and now we're selling 70%, and this thing is out of control.
Isn't that also what did in Noriega part of it, the BCCI scandal?
You know, I suspect it was that was a turf war, and there were a combination of things involved. But I think, you know, over time, what we've seen is a process where sort of what I would call the, you know, the corporate guys have squeezed out the thugs and mugs that they had fronting for them.
Well, let me ask you this, Catherine, before we get more into the nitty-gritty of this. Let's all assume you're absolutely correct, and we have no reason to believe you're not, that they are siphoning off trillions of dollars. What do they want? I mean, what's the game here? I mean,
well, I think there's a combination of things. I don't think it's a simple they, and I don't think it's. Let's talk about one of the most important dynamics. America's rise to power has been fueled by America producing this machinery that produces the lowest cost of capital. I mean, you know, George, if you want to buy a car, and you have to borrow money at 10%, and your neighbor can borrow at 5%, he's going to be able to pay a lot more and get the car or the house or whatever.
That's right.
So cost of capital matters, and my motto is the guy with the lowest cost of capital wins. You know, well, let me tell you something. If I'm a group of franchise operations and my investors are dealing drugs into your neighborhood, then I can finance, you know, taking over your market share in your neighborhood for less than zero. Okay, so it's called a neighborhood leverage buyout. In the game of economic warfare, the guy with the lowest cost of capital wins, and traditionally the people who could combine organized crime with government securities, with stock market, you know, finance companies can get the highest cost of capital. And so, and the sad thing about all of this, so America's rise to power has been fueled by dirty money, and there's a lot of popular support for that. The crowd votes for the guy with the money.